Before I head over to my presentation, I want to introduce you guys to some people that are joining us from the Institute for the presentation. So we have here some people that I have gotten to know over the last 5 years, a union organizer, a few factory workers, and someone from the Better Work office in Lesotho. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about where is Lesotho, what is Better Work and all that, but I just wanted to introduce them up front. So why don't you all take a turn introducing yourself? You can say your name and maybe how long you've worked in the clothing industry.
I have 11 years since 2003 till now.
Thank you.
I am Odiketu. I'm working for Mosa Textile. 5 years.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Olufa Jones. I'm working at Global Garments Textile. I have 5 years experience.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, I'm Natalia Matthew. I work in the factory since 2008 and 2011. Now I'm a union official for 2 years.
Okay.
I'm Katiago. I'm the Better Work position trainer. I've just joined the Better Work last year, and I'm very proud to work with the
Okay, thanks guys. So I apologize, I'm going to be talking now for a little while and I'll just come back to you in 20 minutes or so. Okay, but part of the reason I wanted to include them in this presentation is because it's about them, the program is geared for their benefit, and so whether or not it actually does benefit them is the actual crux of the issue here. So it's also a check against me to make sure that what I'm saying is accurate, not just some sort of flowery depiction I had of things when I went out in the field. So they're going to comment later about their own perspectives of whether Better Work leads to better work. And I just wanted them to be a part of the dissemination and sharing of the information that goes on after the fact. So I'm going to mute you guys because there's a lot of background noise, okay? But you will still be able to hear me. So some of them said they work at Global Garments. They're producing t-shirts for Gap. And some are at Formosa Textile. They make the textiles for Levi's jeans, just to give you guys some perspective. Okay, so some of you might be wondering, where is Lesotho? Does anyone here know where Lesotho is? The people in my classes.
Can we answer?
Yeah, tell us while I search for the arrows.
It's a landlocked country in South Africa.
Yes. So, Priya? Sorry, starting with a technical glitch. Okay. Okay, finally, here we go. So, in the news today, does better work lead to better work? First of all, we need to say, where is Lesotho? For those of you who don't know, it's a small little country entirely landlocked by South Africa. There are about 2 million people in the country. The clothing industry is the largest private employer, and the biggest employer is the government. There's about 40,000 workers in the clothing industry. Lesotho is an independent, it's a kingdom, the mountain kingdom of Lesotho, known as the kingdom in the sky or the jeans capital of Africa, and I'm going to tell you why in a second. The clothing industry emerged in the 1980s as a result of some preferential trade agreements that were in place, and you had foreign owners coming in to assemble clothes and export them to the U.S. duty-free. So a wave of Taiwanese investors came over, set up shop, and then exported those goods to the U.S. And this was like a major source of employment and first-time employment for a lot of workers in Lesotho, in particular women. They just had engaged in subsistence agriculture beforehand and taking care of the home. So a lot of people went into work, particularly women. And in the early 2000s, some South African factory owners started moving across the border into Lesotho to take advantage of cheaper labor costs. They also set up production there and then just exported right back into South Africa. So you have these two unique value chains in Lesotho, the Taiwanese-owned exporting to the U.S. and South African-owned exporting right back into South Africa. So Lesotho doesn't get any of those goods that they produce. And there was this massive surge in employment, and you have foreign owners, local workers. There were a lot of culture clashes, a lot of issues with language barriers, and just pretty poor treatment in the factories. And from these struggles, actually the first union was formed in Lesotho's clothing industry to try and address this issue between the foreign owners and the local workers. And over time just became more familiar with what the local labor law stipulated. There were a lot of cases actually that were going to the labor court around that time. Because there was kind of a backlog in cases that were going through, they established a directorate for dispute prevention and resolution. And a lot of cases were going there, which ended up being mostly in favor of workers. So that kind of curbed the mistreatment from the employers just a little bit, because they knew they couldn't get away with things as easily. So I'm just painting a picture for you of this independent country, expansion, the growth, rapid growth of the clothing industry in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. A few of them left after the expiry of the multi-fiber arrangement, and thousands of people lost their jobs. But it still sort of continues, a little bit hanging by a thread, because it rests on still agreements like AGOA, which are set to expire and keep getting renewed somehow, but could eventually expire. And that's important because AGOA plays a big role in facilitating this duty-free exports to the U.S. Just a little background on Lesotho. Let's move into a little video that I want to start you off with before I talk more about what better work is. Okay, so what is better work? If you've heard of corporate social responsibility, codes of conduct, or other forms of social regulation, Better Work kind of fits into that discussion. I'm not here today to make an expose and say the conditions are really bad at the bottom end of the supply chain. We kind of know that the working conditions are not that great, and that it's usually these workers in developing countries that are most exploited in this process of globalization. They usually get the worst jobs, they're not treated that well, don't have access to regulatory protections. Which brings me to this little discussion of the evolution of labor standards enforcement. What are we doing to protect those workers then that work in factories in developing countries supplying to us or the US or whoever? On one level, they might have some protection with the national or local law. And this is like a primary level that anyone in whatever country would have. But there can be some problems with that because it might not be very comprehensive or it might be weakly enforced. The labor inspectors who go around to try to enforce the law might be willing to accept bribes. There might be some corruption there in terms of how the law is actually enforced. And so that kind of fell short, and we said, you know what, but we also have this layer of international labor standards. They set forth these core conventions that countries ratify, and there's this social obligation to comply with that convention, you know, the abolition of child labor, no discrimination, freedom of association, and access to collective bargaining. But the problem with that is that it lacks the teeth of enforcement. It's not really legally enforceable. You can mount social pressure around and behind international labor standards, but it's not really enforceable. So say, okay, well, look, where those fall short, we have buyer codes of conduct. So you get these buyers like Gap and Levi's who are sourcing from factories in developing countries, make them take some responsibility for their actions, for the poor conditions. And so in the 1990s, there was a big wave of code adoption, and a lot of buyers started saying, like, yes, we practice CSR, we have these codes, we make our suppliers abide by these codes, look at how good we're doing, you know, great PR for themselves, which is kind of a segment of what that is. Whether or not it actually works is debatable, but a good proportion of the literature out there is basically highlighting the flaws of that monitoring process. So you have a code of conduct, the supplier factory slaps it onto their wall, these are, you know, we comply with local law and international labor standards, but who comes around and inspects that? A third-party auditor, someone from the company itself, comes once a year from the buyer itself, maybe comes once a year, does a quick walkthrough, goes down a checklist, and there's all sorts of horror stories you can see in the literature on it. You know, I've talked about it in some of the classes. But an auditor walks through a factory, and meanwhile, 30 pregnant women are hiding on the roof. Or a section that uses toxic chemicals is entirely closed, that doesn't even look like it exists, and those people are told not to come into work. Or there's two factories that are part of a company, and when the auditor comes, they're only shown around one of the factories. You see, there are just many ways around that. They often don't include workers in the process of gauging, you know, compliance with labor standards. And when they do, it's usually on the walkthrough in the factory, and they talk to the worker a little bit. Now, if you're a worker and an auditor is standing there from some global buyer foreign company, you think you're going to be, oh, let me tell you about all the horrible conditions and what's going on and what my employer is doing to me, when your employer is just down the line. It's not an environment that's conducive for really getting good worker feedback. So these things complement each other, but none of them is really an actual solution, and we keep coming in with layers of protection, which brings us to Better Work. Well, what is Better Work? Better Work is a multi-stakeholder program. So it brings together those global buyers, the local or domestic governments in these developing countries, the exporters associations or the employers, the unions, and other NGOs that might be working in that area. Physically brings them around a table, a representative from those stakeholders around a table, and tries to engage them in social dialogue around two things. One, how to improve labor standards compliance, but two, also, how to not negatively impact supplier competitiveness. Because a lot of employers will say, well, why am I going to do this thing? It's a cost for me. What do I get out of it? You know, the brands can promo themselves. Like Gap had that, what was it, the red campaign. Did anyone hear about that? They say, look at what we do. You know, we're doing this thing. We don't use child labor. We don't you know, we give good wages. So it's maybe okay on some level for the buyers, but what do the employers get out of it? What incentive do they have? And what Better Work is trying to do is to really engage in dialogue around that issue to show that there is actually if not a really great business payoff, at least not a negative impact. And there is a lot of research coming out of Better Work. You can visit the website, betterwork.org. And a lot of that research that's going on, it has to do with trying to link improvements in compliance with improvements in productivity or profitability or efficiency or whatever it is. But the research is all geared around trying to make a business case for compliance that appeals to them, right? So it's a negotiation. It's a multi-party negotiation. What do I get out of this? What do you get out of this? And it's Better Work is built on the success of the Better Factories Cambodia program, which started in 2000. The same thing, and it was quite successful. And 10 years later, they started launching, or 8 years later, starting and launching in other countries. So Better Work Jordan in 2008, Haiti in 2009, which experienced a bit of a setback because that was also when there was a major earthquake there. I don't know if you guys remember that. Vietnam, Lesotho in 2010, Indonesia in 2011, Nicaragua in 2011, and most recently in Bangladesh. And I just created a little map there where you can see the different spots. We just have a little clip here. The Better Work Global Office is at the ILO in Geneva. And there's that one office up there, and then they have the program countries, and there are project advisory committees in each country that brings together those multiple stakeholders, and they meet however many times a year, set forth a plan, and then it trickles down into the factory level through the establishment of worker committees, or worker management committees, which are called, remember it now because it's going to come up many times, Performance Improvement Consultative Committees, otherwise known as PICs. So this is how it sort of starts at a bigger level and works its way down into the factory. The PIC committee is a mechanism through which workers can raise concerns from the shop floor, things that are actually happening that affect them, that are important, that they can see some resolution to right away. Here's a little clip from my supervisor at the ILO. This is a book that she edited.
One to be added to the group is Bangladesh, where I am currently. We are very excited about Kelly's research on evaluating the impact of Better Work Lesotho, and the findings that she's having are very encouraging for us because she can measure the impact of Better Work beyond the workplace on women workers especially. So enjoy her talk.
How is Better Work different from these other forms of regulation? I outlined there's national law, there's international labor standards, there's codes of conduct. Are we just on this endless cycle of like futile attempts to fix this problem, or is there something different going on here? How is it different? Well, with the codes of conduct, another flaw in that process is that you can have one factory supplying to multiple different companies, right? You can be supplying to Gap and JanSport and The Children's Place, and you might have a code of conduct for each of those companies, for each of those buyers. So now the Gap person is going to come and do their audit. They want the fire extinguisher here. They want the chemicals labeled in this way. They want these windows open, the path cleared in this way. So you've done all that to prepare for your interview or your audit. But then the Children's Place actually prefers if the fire extinguisher is over there and the hallways are done in this. And so you're constantly rearranging, losing efficiency, adapting, trying to meet the needs of these audits, which ends up just being a performance because the visits are announced. So you know when they're coming. You have time to prepare. You have time to talk to people, coach employees on what to say. So the difference with Better Work is that the monitoring and evaluation activities are consolidated. There's a program office set up in each of these countries. They have inspectors, which are called enterprise advisors. So they're on the ground, they're in Lesotho, they're from Lesotho, or from whatever country the program is in. The visits are unannounced, so it's a surprise visit. You just always have to be ready. You have to have your act together. The assessment process itself is much more comprehensive and goes beyond saying, like a code, you have to comply with the national law and with international labor standards. They've taken into account some additional factors that might be important to workers that don't get captured by the labor law, and I'll zoom in on something here in a second. Most importantly, the focus is on remediation and training. So when they find instances of noncompliance, They don't tell the buyer, and then the buyer pulls those orders, because what does that result in? Job loss for workers, right? So they find a problem area. They talk with they get the unions or the employers to meet with each other to talk about what the problems are and how you can address those issues. Or they just talk with the HR managers and factory managers and talk about setting up training. And they're, later on, Chalana is going to talk a little bit about some of the training that they do at Better Work. So this is an important difference with other forms of social regulation. They're there to stay. They're there to make things better. Excuse the pun. These are the compliance clusters, just to get a visual of them. They're broken into two big groupings, core labor standards and working conditions. And within each major compliance category, there are four compliance items. So the core labor standards are the international core labor standards: child labor, discrimination, forced labor, freedom of association, and collective bargaining. Those are broken down further into 4 points each. So, for example, freedom of association, it will include a compliance point about union operations, interference and discrimination, collective bargaining, and strikes. Then this bottom category is working conditions. You have four categories: compensation, contracts and human resources, so like how issues are dealt with or, you know, how contracts are administered, occupational safety and health, and working time. So an example in the occupational safety and health that breaks down into a number of different items: OSHA management systems, chemicals and hazardous substances, worker protection, working environment, health services and first aid, welfare facilities. These are things national law might not be providing for. Worker accommodation and emergency preparedness. So remember this just in general, this framework, because it's going to come up a little bit later in the methodology. A factory subscribes to Better Work. They agree to pay the subscription fee. They have the Better Work office come in, enterprise advisors, and do an initial assessment. Here's the audit. Here are your problem areas. You have a time to respond and try and fix these things, and then get back to us with your report on where you stand. If there's things that weren't fixable, what was the problem? What were some of the underlying root causes of that? And then they're coming in for maybe some trainings or education in some fashion. So it's a cyclical process where it goes back and forth between the office and the factory to try and improve the conditions. And the buyers are involved in this too. And the idea is that by having the buyer involved, it exerts some pressure on the factory or the employer to actually try and make some changes, because they want those continued orders. Okay. So now to the research. How did I do this? I'm comparing Does Better Work, the 2011 feedback, with 2013 feedback. Why 2011? Like I said, the program was launched in 2010, and I was over there to collect. I was living in South Africa for 2 years, and I did the baseline data collection for the ILO during that time, just to say, okay, what are your conditions like now? Starting point of Better Work, where are we at? And I held 17 focus groups with 149 workers, and some of them were in this room here at this table that you can see on the right. And so there were 17 of those in 2011, mixture of men and women, representative of all different factories. And I also did a workers' questionnaire. So this was like 110 items questionnaire that they sat in a big room all together, and we ran through it with them with the translator, filled it out one by one to make sure everyone understood. And the questions were all about the working conditions. And I tried to model the questions and also the focus group guidelines according to those compliance clusters, because I wanted to see, how is this lining up? Like, it's Better Work. What Better Work is measuring, is it capturing what's important to workers? Or are they missing something? Something not being captured by the Better Work approach. In 2013, I went back and did 20 focus groups with 141 workers and another 230 worker questionnaires. For that one, I realized we could get a bigger sample if I trained a few shop stewards on how to administer the questionnaire and then send them out into the industrial area and the villages to get them completed. So this was the main source of data collection. These are just scenes of focus group discussions. How did I analyze it? This is exciting, and all my students should learn about this qualitative software. So I have transcripts from 17 focus groups that last about 2 hours in length. Type all those out, tidy them up and everything, and you upload them into the software called Envivo. So now I have all these transcripts there, okay, all these interviews. And I know what I'm kind of looking for. I'm trying to see what issues are coming out. So I want to say, well, how many of the things they're saying actually connect with those compliance clusters? So I can actually make these things called nodes. They're just like folders. You create folders on the left side of your screen with the compliance clusters, health and safety, freedom of association, working time, whatever. And then you go through literally every transcript line by line, and you can highlight a sentence. If they say, you know, we never receive a face mask, we've only received one once a year, you highlight it and you drag it over to health and safety. Now, some of you are wondering, what if they said we have such good health and safety practices here? Well, I also created subfolders called health and safety positive, so if they said something good. And there was such a small amount of good feedback, I think also because of the nature of the research, tell me about your working conditions, what needs to improve, and so on. So you do that for every compliance category, and then actually some new issues come up, like supervisor relations wasn't captured in that Better Work Compliance clusters. So you create a new folder for that. You drag everything over, you highlight it. I know who said what in those transcripts, because I've said, okay, this was a woman from this factory, she's this old, she does this job. And I don't want to get into all the details, but I've coded that somehow. I've assigned attributes to everyone. So that once you get over to the folders, I'm going to tell you guys in the classes, because it's more simple than making it sound. You can query those folders. You can say, tell me, did more women or men complain about health and safety issues? And then you can run a query that pops it out and says, actually, women made like 700 mentions of problems with health and safety, and men only made 400 mentions of it. When I say mention, I mean they said something like, you know, they don't give me a standing mat. I'm standing all day, and my back ends up aching really a lot in the day. So you can query it for all these different kinds of issues. And you can do other things too. You can look for word frequencies. So if you just want to, like, you just finally loaded everything in there and you just want to, you're excited to try it out, you say, well, what was the words that people use the most often? And a tag cloud will come up and it'll show you in big letters. And so you start to get some idea of patterns. Okay, you know what? They were mentioning unions a lot. They were mentioning, they said the word supervisor a lot. They said the word chemical a lot. What's going on there? You can click on that word and everything will come up where they ever mentioned chemical. So you can go into in more detail what they said about it. Now this is, the purpose is to quantify qualitative feedback. So the findings are obviously informed by that, but they're mostly informed by these discussions that happen with these workers where you sit around, you get a feel for the, you know, what's behind the things that they're saying and how their lives are being affected by it. We're just trying to validate in a number of different ways here. So that's how I analyzed it. So let's get to what did I find? What were some of the issues in 2011 in that baseline data? And I'm just going to highlight the major issues for you here, because there are a lot of issues that came up within, you know, all of the compliance clusters, but the biggest, the ones that received the most attention, were problems with health and safety. Here's some examples of quotes. In case of a fire, all the doors are locked with padlocks. I'm sure you guys have seen on the news horror stories about fires in Bangladesh, not being able to get out of the factory. And it still happens, which, you know, or these chemicals are so strong that they can affect you 5 meters away. And that person went on to say that they're a pregnant woman working in the section, so they're inhaling these toxic fumes. They also really mentioned a lot to do with supervisor relations, that supervisors themselves are selected unfairly. It's just sort of like, okay, you know what, you're kind of mean with the workers. You're a supervisor because I know you're going to push them. You're going to push them to get it done. And actually, that's the way it was done. There's two supervisors per line, one foreigner and one local. The foreigner is there to advise on the technical aspects of the job, and the local is there in that same language to drive that person to reach their target. Work harder, work faster. Why are you making a mistake? You know, so just really pushing them, which obviously stressed workers out a lot. And they also thought that there was a lot of favoritism that supervisors were inflicting on them. So that also had an impact on all these other areas of compliance. If you're the supervisor and you don't like me, and I'm saying, look, my face mask is really, really dirty, I need another one, but you like her, you're like, sorry, and you're giving it to her. Or if I come back from leave, and I'm entitled to come back, but you don't like me, so you don't let me come back in, and I lose a day's work. So there's ways in which it was affecting health and safety, or their wages that they were able to earn, or any number of things. It was one of the biggest issues. There were also some issues around contracts and human resources. I included a comment here about the precarity of their work. So if they feel like they're done with you, they'll just let you go. The contract doesn't really mean anything. But also there was really a lot coming up about how issues are dealt with. So that dispute resolution or that grievance procedure aspect of the human resources office, they felt that anytime they would go to the HR manager for advice, HR manager would just say, go back and ask your supervisor. Now, we just commented on the relationship between supervisors and workers. So you can see it was like they were hitting a ceiling really soon and didn't feel like they could resolve any of their problems. So they were stuck and feeling stressed out and working in poor conditions. Also, some issues about union discrimination. Feeling like they were being discriminated against if they were a member of the union, not being allowed to wear a union t-shirt, or they wanted to work overtime for the extra money. And if they were a union member, they felt like they were always being given second priority. So these were some of the issues in 2011. These are some of the quotes that came out. I'm just going to show you here is an example of how you can use Envivo. I was just trying to compare if it was any different between those two value chains that I mentioned at the beginning. And so I included the compliance clusters here, and then I made as a percentage how many times were people mentioning those issues. So for example, in the Taiwanese-US value chain, you see OSH, 34%, and it's the biggest number here. It means from everything, anyone, any worker in a factory that was part of that value chain, of all the things that they said, issues with OSH accounted for 34% of that feedback. So that was the biggest issue. And then supervisor relations was the next biggest issue. In the South African value chain, of all the stuff that they said, 39% of that feedback was accounted for by comments around supervisor relations. And then the next biggest thing also was health and safety. So these two issues came up no matter which one, different proportions, but the biggest ones. And then here's an example of a tag cloud. So I queried the health and safety folder. I said, well, what are people saying the most of in health and safety? And the words that came up the most were chemicals, buyers. Buyers came up because they would sometimes say, yeah, I get a face mask, or yeah, I get gloves to wear, but I only get it when the buyers are coming. There's a quote, that Levi's guy is like a semi-god to these owners. And so there were so many quotes, only when the buyers are coming. When the buyers come, if a buyer is there, the buyer word came up so many times. So you can see another supporting that idea that those codes of conduct don't really create sustainable improvements. An auditor comes around, you give everyone a face mask, the auditor goes, and no one gets a face mask for another year. I also ran a query of just everything that was said of all the transcripts. This is still in 2011. Of all 17 focus groups, and the word that came up most often was supervisors. There's also a bit of discrimination you can see towards pregnant women and people who are HIV positive. So Lesotho has, at a national level, a 30% incidence of HIV/AIDS, also a high rate of TB. And at among factory workers, the incidence is 40%. So this is important. And there's an NGO, or there was, it recently ended, but there's an NGO set up to deal with only that issue of HIV training and awareness, which has helped, I think, a lot of workers. I'm going to show you, oh my gosh, a little video clip. Ololiwe ezofuna izindombi nezinsizwa ezifuna ukwelululiwe ololiwe 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 washona kuthi ololiwe ezofuna izindombi nezinsizwa As if Nugunqueluloliwe, Sibezwa ekoluma be, Simnyama zambane simnyama loliwe, 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 Simnyama zambane simnyama loliwe.
So we should have a say. Because if we are just selling to the American market, what happens if Agua goes? Then we close down, we have quite a lot of sale. That shouldn't be the case. We should diversify and sell for the local market.
Oh, my child, we are slaves. You know that on this country, help we don't belong this. It's for the Chinese. there is no proper way of searching the workers when they go for lunch break or when they knock off. So they'll get into their pants and touch their breasts and try and take off their shirts and stuff.
That substance is always heat when buyers are coming. It's so hazardous that it causes TB and other related diseases. When we are now ill, our employer never deploys us to other duties which are less hazardous and maybe more simple to do. Rather, they would simply tell us to go home and we get another person or another. Affect another person here. And also they won't even give some any kind of compensation for our health or even some benefit. I'll be just going to go home.
They are given a 12-day sick leave. And if you find that the person is critical and then after 12 days she's not getting paid at all, and then some workers, they die because of hunger, not because they're actually sick, but they're starving.
Please, can you really be a hope? We can see our children. We don't have enough money.
Does anyone have a MacBook Air charger? So these were some of the issues before Better Work, and I'm aware of time, I'll try and hurry up a little bit. These were some of the issues before Better Work, so I next want to ask, you know, what's been done since then? What's happening? And if I can get out of this screen, we'll do that. Uh-oh. Don't look. Ugh, this computer. Okay, sorry. There was a technical glitch. Okay, this is where I wanted to go. So these are all the problems in 2011. This is what we uncovered. And I next want to go to our training officer at Better Work to say, okay, these are some of the issues. So what did you guys do about it? And this is the LNDC building where these guys are all sitting right now on Kingsway Street in Maseru. They're sitting there, and this is where Better Work is housed. So this is where I'm going to go to. Chalana, you're up. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is your chance. If you can spend just a few minutes describing some of the training that's been done at Better Work over the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, since
you can come. Sorry, can you come into the screen? Sorry, we can't see your face. Maybe you could just come into the middle of the screen.
Can you see me?
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, yeah. I said since I went to Better Work with Lesotho, the major focus was to transfer the knowledge from us as the Better Work trainers and to create workers. And I think the first component was workers' life skills, where we covered the maternal protection, financial literacy, so that workers can manage their money well, also workplace communication and cooperation. Apart from that, the major non-compliance we encounter under the harassment in its three forms, namely verbal harassment, sexually and physically. So we had to train the supervisors on how to handle the workers as to improve the workplace cooperation. We didn't end there. We also managed to offer the human resource management training for the human resource managers, factories, so that they can manage the workers' contracts, payments, and leaves well. And for last year, which was 2014, we focused more on the supervised skill training. And under supervised skill training, we had four components. We had the in-house training, TOT, which is the training for trainers. We also had the training for the future supervisors. And we normally had the network meeting where the different supervisors from the different factories can meet together and share the challenges they are encountering in the workplace with people, because our intention, we want workers and management to work every hand, you know, to produce the quality goods for the international buyers. I think up to now we covered a lot under the OSH, which is occupational health and safety. We also focused a lot on under fire safety. I think we spent a lot of time because it was a serious challenge at the factory level. As you can see, the examples from Bangladesh and some other countries, we didn't want to experience the similar problems with the fire. So we had to prevent it before it can happen. And lucky enough, since BetterWork has happened in the country, all BetterWork team members, we never experienced that fire.
So that's actually a good transition. So why don't we turn to the workers now, and they can just say maybe one or two things. Have things improved since BetterWork? What do you think? And maybe we can bring Pinda back into the screen.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. Pinda can say something.
Yeah, so has anything changed since BetterWork? Is work actually better, or is it still the same as before?
Before BetterWork was not in our factory, it was so difficult because we have no communication with a super Chinese supervisor, management, Basotho supervisor. They treat us like a slave. But now BetterWork arrived in the victory, things are different. Especially like they train us about like health and safety, inflation plan, about how to budget our salaries, and they train us about labor law. There are many things.
Okay.
Sexual harassment and when we are pregnant, now that I told us the management that they treat us well. We have things like smoking house. Things like standing mat when you are waking, like especially QC, they told us that if the management treat us well, we can provide more quality, and the bikes will attract us to buy some orders.
Okay, that's really good. Thanks, Pinda. And maybe we can hear from the man next to you.
What?
Or Retabila, you can go ahead if you want.
Okay. I think BetterWork has done enough because before I went to the union, we didn't have chance to communicate with factory management. So this BetterWork came with the committee, PICC, and every month they have time to talk to the management. And I think that since Betterweg has come, committee, they are able to express their feelings and how to change the workplace.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank
and,
you.
I can make an example. In Formosa Textile, there was a problem of transport, but now they are being better with the transport. The taxi took them to near their place, to closer to their place, due to better work help.
Yeah, so I'll just explain. It used to be that people would work a night shift and it would be really late at night, and then it would be time to go home, but the taxi would just drop you, like at the main street, but then you'd have to walk in this dark village and women were getting attacked or the money stolen, been raped. Like, there were a lot of problems around it. So now they've made, that's not in the code of conduct, drive these people to their doorsteps, but it's something that mattered to these workers, and Better Work took that into consideration. They, I guess, negotiated around that. Okay, why don't we hear from the gentleman?
That's why it made a difference in our lives, because we can now manage your money. Now we can have a relationship with the management, and it gives us how to learn to respect the management, and management to respect the workers.
Okay, that's great. And did you want to add anything else? Did they say everything already?
It's very important for us, and it brought some changes in our lives. The issue of health and safety is being taken care of. As we are speaking now, the workers are well protected, the health of God, the safety. Safety clothing, like the gun boots, and also the use of PPE. Betterweg has done a lot for us. For now, we have this working room, and we also have given an opportunity to play soccer during break times. And we thank Betterweg for what it has done for us.
Okay.
And adding to that, before Betterweg came to the factories, there was no time for sick people, especially pregnant people and those who are HIV positive. They had no time to eat, to drink, to take their pills. But now, since Betterweg came, they are able to, they have some time to go to eat and take their pills.
Yeah.
I think that is best of Betterweg.
Yeah. Okay, thank you guys. I'm going to come back to you in a few minutes, okay? I'm going to continue with something and then come back to you for a question. Okay, so I wanted you guys to get that experience, so I'm going to go through my data slides a little more quickly, just also in the interest of time, and I have another video to show you. But I wanted you to hear from them what some of the improvements have been and whether or not better work leads to better work. And it sounds like, from what they're saying, what happened? Can we get them back? It sounds like from what they're saying that, yes, better work leads to better work. Let's look a little more closely at that data. I analyze it in the same way as I did the earlier. So this is just a big snapshot of it. Remember, this is the in vivo, the qualitative data analysis. What does this actually mean? So I went in, and I did that thing again where I say, well, how many comments did people make about these different compliance items, and how does that pan out? And I asked these people, I said, so what has changed since Better Work? Like, what has improved? Has anything changed at all? Has your working conditions improved? What has changed since Better Work? And what they said, you can kind of fit it into this little graph here. So this is about health and safety. 50% of the feedback, when I asked the question, what has improved since Better Work, had to do with health and safety. There's this new category called other, and that was dominated by comments about the PICCs, that workplace committee that I told you guys about and that they were again referencing. There was also some improvements in contracts and human resources, which again had more to do with the processes of dealing with disputes. So communication, relations, these things were starting to change. Compensation, like being paid on time or having the items listed on the paycheck, like what's being deducted, and not really that big of a change in supervisor relations. So this is what you can see what it looks like when you think about the biggest improvement you can see was health and safety. Why do I keep losing this arrow? This is what this looks like. And the questionnaire, I'm only including a bit of data from the questionnaire, but the questionnaire feedback also supported it. So this is 2011. Did you receive personal protective equipment? And also a question on the questionnaire, did you receive it for a buyer visit only? So in 2011, 48% said, yeah, they were receiving PPE, but 61% said it was for the buyer visits only. Whereas now in 2013, 72% said they received PPE, and a lesser proportion said that they receive it for buyer visits only. So there's some improvement in that area. I also asked them about whether or not they have an OSHA policy or training related to health and safety. And you can see that there were only 39% said they had a policy in 2011, 71% said they have a policy in 2013. Only 13% had received health and safety training in 2011. But double that, 26% in 2013. There was a big push from Better Work for health and safety training. And here are some of the examples of the quote. So they've said it here. That's why I want to skim over it a little bit. But the biggest, the most major improvements were in health and safety and these improvements around communication and relations, whether it had to do with the PIC committees or the HR procedures, grievance procedures. They're talking about how the factory is cleaner, how people with HIV are given a break so that they can actually eat something when they take their medicine, because you have to eat and drink something with your medicine. And the hallways are clear, it's marked. If there's an emergency, where do you go? And also that it's reduced the stress level. So health, also in like the mental health side of things. Big improvement in communication and relations. You can see how PICC comes up here, and it really just about that process, the opportunity to raise an issue and see it resolved quickly, to see that it's making a difference. I also asked them, but what problems are there still? Like, maybe it wasn't the gold standard. I asked what improved since Better Work, but what problems still need to be addressed? And so this is the original chart I just told you. I just overlaid the problems on it. So this is exactly the same. You see this 50% OSH. Now, so these people said, you know, all these improvements in OSH, but when I said what problems still remain, there were still, you know, a number of people making comments about some problems that remain with health and safety. So It could be that better work has rolled out at different times in different factories, or not everyone has received the same amount of training, or just a different experience with their supervisor. I don't know, but there's still some problems there to be addressed. But look, at the improvements really outweigh the persistent problems. And the improvements here also outweigh the persistent problems. This has to do with the PICCs, the mechanism of that in-house dispute resolution process and way of getting things done. Some people talk about problems like not having access to the PICC. Someone wanted to be on it but couldn't be. Or the information shared in that PICC isn't getting disseminated properly. It sort of stops there in some places. And in all these other areas, the problems outweigh the improvements. So still a lot of issues with compensation, still a big issue with supervisor relations. I took this, the PICCs and this human resources and supervisor relations all lumped together to really be under the broad heading of communication and relations. And when you do that, why does it keep doing that? When you do that, you get this zoomed in perspective. So you see a much bigger improvement in here. So you can see OSH is the biggest improvement and this next major improvement, communication and relations. This is so high because of that supervisor relations piece. So if you cut that out, you know, you come down to about here, that there has really been a major improvement in communication and relations. This is important. I asked them, you know, because Better Work Global is interested in, is this having an impact on your home life? So I said, do improvements at work, or has Better Work actually led to improvements in your home life? And they talked about it a little bit here. They talked about getting budget training and better able to manage their finances. And they also talked about, you know, learning this kind of training about conflict resolution and then applying that in their marital situations or with their children or with the budgeting, sharing that information with their husbands. And their husbands respect them more for it because they've shared something with them. They have this new knowledge and they were speaking fondly about that. But you can break it. I've broken it down. These improvements in the home life into a few different categories. One is improved communication, which is consistent with the workplace improvements too. An increase in shared responsibility. So traditionally, I think across a lot of African cultures, the men are the breadwinners, the women take care of the home, and the women do all those things around the house like cooking and cleaning and so on. But these women are working really late hours. A lot of the men are unemployed. A lot of men do work. But sometimes, you know, in 2011, they were complaining that they'd come home after a long day at work and the husband would have been there all day, and so the children are sitting there, they haven't eaten, no one has eaten, the house is a mess, and they're still expected to do all those things at home. I don't know if he's chuckling right now. But they're saying now, you know, they're helping more, and the men have learned through some training sessions from Better Work as well to try to pitch in a little bit at home, because reducing that stress at home can contribute to a better working day. Decreased stress levels. And one woman talked about really just going home and taking it out on her kids pretty often, and that doesn't happen anymore. She feels better when she goes home. Some said they looked forward to going to work now. And also transference of first aid skills, which is common in other countries too that do health and safety training for factory workers. You learn about proper ventilation in the factory. You keep a window open at home. You label things. You make kids wash their hands. If there's a fire, you don't necessarily try to flap someone off and create more oxygen. Like you roll. Like they're learning these things about applying it at home, and also how to care for people. I told you that there's high incidence of HIV/AIDS, and so if someone is cut or hurt, how do you take care of them using gloves and whatever you do? So they described a lot about that, and also this thing of financial budgeting came up. So Better Work does these trainings also on life skills, and they earn a very tiny salary. They can hardly make ends meet with what they earn. So this was trying to rejig that a little bit to try and make ends meet, and it's working for some of them. So I'm not going to start this movie yet because it's a little bit long, and I don't know if some people have to go. But I'm going to first turn. This is the last thing that I have it's 15 minutes, and it's an interview that I did with Pinda in December, just this past December. And she actually she says some of the stuff that she just said now, but goes into a little more detail. And so that's about the first 9 or 10 minutes, and then the last 5 or 6 minutes is the day in the life of the factory worker. So you see them walking to work, going into the factory, her doing her job, having lunch, knocking off, going home, go to the village, see what, you know, what's around in that rural area and stuff like that. So I hope that you guys stay for it. But before that happens, I wanted to give the audience a chance. Whoops, it's a for you? I wanted to give you guys a chance to ask them any questions that you might have or be interested in knowing. So think about that while we fix the short. Don't step on this wire, apparently it's trapped. Don't step on the wire. Jump. I'm gonna be under it. Beautiful, because I tried my presentation many times and it was fast, sharp. Now it's going back and forth. Oh, there they are. Can you guys hear us?
Yes.
We're just having a technical glitch, so we can't see you on the screen, but just hang on 1 second. Maybe I can call him on this thing now that I've done
it. For a better way, the door I'll close.
No, we don't have to hang up there yet. Let me see if I can even get this on here. In the meanwhile, that might come on. This is very slow. Like, look how long it's taking even to minimize. Are you guys thinking of questions you're going to ask? Just use the laptop. It's like almost there, but we might just have to use the laptop. Okay. Oh. Okay, Supriya. So can you just tell them you're going to hang up and we're going to call Ray back?
Yeah, she's going to call you right back, okay? She's going to call right back.
I think we might just have to use the laptop. I don't know what is up with this. Phoebe. Okay, so call them back on that, I guess, please. Sorry.
Here's a question. In the factory, the people were all wearing coats, winter coats.
Yeah.
Is it very cold in the factory?
Did you hear him, or should I repeat?
No.
He said in the factory, people were wearing winter coats. Is it very cold there?
Very cold during winter, but at the same time, very hot during summer.
Like right now, it's summer for you, and it's about 35 degrees, right?
It's extremely hot here. You can see we are shaking here. So it's much worse than the factory. In the factory.
And in the winter, it can get quite cold. It can even snow a little bit. But there's not central heating, so they're freezing. Which was one of the improvements, that they put a little space heaters in the factory.
Yes.
Does anyone else have any questions? Yes?
I know there were a lot of problems with supervisor relations, so what initiatives has Better Work taken to improve on that?
What initiatives has Better Work taken to improve on the problem of supervisor relations? This is probably a question for Chalene.
Yeah, what we have done to try to build the relationship between the supervisor, workers, and management, we are offering the training for the supervisors. In fact, we have four components, like I have indicated. We have the in-house training where we train the supervisors in-house. Also, we have the training of trainers, the TOT, for the supervisors. And in some factories, like we have identified two factories where we are doing the impact study to see if our trainings are really getting built for the workers and management relationship. Also, we have the network meeting with supervisors where we sit together, me and the EAs, to give advices to the supervisors on how to handle the workers. Yeah, I think that's it.
So, like, supervisor training, good question. Any other questions? Yes?
After the Better Work program, do they find that they're able to better voice their concerns in the workplace?
After Better Work, do you find that you're better able to voice your concerns in the workplace?
Yes.
I think
after Better Work, are you better able to voice your concern?
Yes.
Just say your problem.
Yes.
I said
they have a meeting every month. They have meeting with BICC. BICC and management have together. So the BICC come the problem and the management solve them.
Yeah, in addition to what Tembi has said, since Better Work has arrived in a country, we managed to formulate a committee called Performance Improvement Consultative Committee. In short, it's PICC. So the PICC is a combination of workers, management, and the union representatives. So they have the monthly meeting where the workers, union representatives, and workers' representatives can gather together and share some concerns and the problems on improvements. Normally, the agenda is on the improvement plan. Yeah. So that's where the workers can freely raise their concerns. Also, through intervening in the unions, the workers can raise their concerns to unions, then the unions will take the matter forward to the PICC meeting. That's how we are functioning here. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Direct line to Africa. Any questions? Do you guys have any questions for them? For these students, do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I think that I just want to know how is for their research, how is the working class there?
How is the working class here?
Yes. What she wants to know is the minimum wage for the...
Okay, there are some students here and they work minimum wage jobs. So what is the minimum wage, you guys?
The minimum wage in Ontario is $11 an hour.
So $11 an hour. So that's basically 110 rand per hour. But everything is much more expensive too.
That means if you wait for 110 per hour, that means
they are rich. Okay, there's a comment from someone at the back. Yeah?
Okay, I'd like to know the maternity leave.